And we're continuing our series of defining doctrines. And what we want to examine this evening is the principle of forgiveness that we see in the Scriptures. And it is something that it is maybe a simple concept, we would think, but we know that it affects us every day. The forgiveness of the Lord for us, of course, we realize each day that we need to seek His forgiveness for our failings. But we know, of course, His great forgiveness in forgiving us our debt of sin so that we could be saved forever and have a home with Him in eternity. And so we want to examine that, and we're going to begin in Psalm 130. It says, Psalm 130, verse 3, "If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for Your great forgiveness, Lord, that comes because of what Your Son did for us on the cross. We just pray You would help us to appreciate it, help us to put it into action in our own lives, Lord, that we might be a forgiving people as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we see that the Lord is a just God. He is a holy God. And it would certainly be something if He was to squash every one of us every time, the first time that we sinned, that He would be totally within His right to do that. And it says there, "If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" And we realize there is none righteous, no, not one. But that's the blessed thing to know, that there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. That because He is a God that is a forgiving God, that He is one that we can draw close to. He is one that is merciful. It speaks in Lamentations, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. And so it is a blessing to know that. And we want to understand, first of all, why we need to be forgiven. And the reason we need to be forgiven is because the great debt of sin that we carry. That all of us are sinners, that all of us have broken God's law, and payment is due for that. The wages of sin is death. And all of us are deserving of punishment for our sins. And as we sang in the song, "The Old Account Was Settled," that our account was large, there was many things below our name, and we kept adding to it, but at a certain point when we trusted Christ as Savior, that account was settled. That our debt to the Lord was forgiven, it was paid in full. And that is the blessing that we can have, that even though that we are sinners, even though we've all made terrible mistakes sometimes in our lives, that we've hurt others, that we've hurt the Lord, we've sinned against Him, that it can be forgiven. That it isn't something that we have to be burdened by it through the rest of our lives, that we're fraught with guilt and shame, but it can be, these things can be forgiven, that they don't need to be carried any longer. And we understand that our forgiveness comes because it is based on what someone else has done, that someone has paid the debt for us, that an atonement has been made, and because of that, we are forgiven. It isn't something that we earn our God's forgiveness ourselves. It is instead that our debt has been paid for, because we could never pay our own debt. We could never earn the Lord's forgiveness, but we can receive it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in the book of Leviticus chapter 4, and we understand that the sacrifices were but a shadow of what was to come. But we see the principle of it. This passage here is speaking of the trespass offering. If anyone had committed a sin, there is a sacrifice that had to be made to take care of it, to atone for it. And it says, Leviticus 4, verse 35, speaking of the priest, "And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for his sin, that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. And so we see that principle throughout, that a sacrifice was made by a priest, that an atonement was made for a person's sin, and that person's sins are forgiven them. And we see that with the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who made the sacrifice, which was himself. He gave of his own blood, his own life for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it is through Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness of sins. And we see this in Acts chapter 5, if you turn there with me. And we see this again, we're only going to read a couple of instances in Acts where it speaks of this. But again and again you'll see the disciples, the apostles, and Paul speak that it is through Jesus alone that we have forgiveness of sins. It says, Acts 5, 30 and 31, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And we see also in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 of Acts chapter 13, and it says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And that is what we preach, and that we can share with other people, no matter where they're at in life, no matter how sinful a life they may have lived, that it can all be forgiven. It can be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that it is not something that they have to bear anymore. And that is the blessing that we have, redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we understand from Psalm 86, verse 5, that God is a God that is ready to forgive. He isn't someone that wants to withhold it, or sort of, well, you have to prove yourself, or you have to do so much penance throughout your life to make sure that you really mean it, that you deserve His forgiveness. No, it's something that He forgives readily, that He desires to do so, that He is a merciful God. And it is the whole thought that He has done everything necessary for us to be forgiven, that we could not do it ourselves, and so He made the provision Himself, that a way that in His love, without contradicting His justice, that He could provide a way of forgiving the sins of a sinner. And in what we need to do in order to receive that, each and every one of us, is to call upon Him. And as many of us, I think close to all of us here, have done that we have at one point in our lives that we called upon Him to forgive us our sins, and we were cleansed of our sinfulness and our guilt, and we were made free from that forever. And we understand that our forgiveness, that there is that instant when we are saved, that our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And positionally, it is just as if we had never sinned, that it's atoned for, it's covered. We are reconciled to God. But we recognize that throughout our life, that we still have that sin nature within us, and as we try to live the Christian life, we struggle. And it is something that we know that there are times that we sin in the Christian life each day, that we see that if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that thought that he is our advocate, that he has made that provision, that each day when we fail him, when we don't live up to his standard, that there is forgiveness, that we realize if we continue in sin, that our, even though our relationship with him can never be severed once we're saved, that our fellowship can be broken, that we're not as close to him as we should be. But yet it is not something that we are to feel guilty again and draw away from. It's something that we come towards him and we say, Lord, forgive me, I've failed you. And we confess our sin and forsake it. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that there isn't any glimpse of it left, any shred that remains that we can feel, need to feel guilty about or beat ourselves up for. And that's sometimes, I think, what the devil tries to do, is that he tries to get us to hold on to our guilt, that if we've done something wrong, that we're burdened by it, that just why I failed and I'll fail again. And it is a blessing to know that, that we can be forgiven, that we don't need to have that guilt, that we fail, and sometimes we might say, well, man, I failed this way, this is the 10th time, Lord, please forgive me. And then the Lord, he says, well, I don't remember any other time than this time. It's all forgiven, that there's not a record of it. And that's something I think it gives us great power, knowing that, that there isn't this big long list of failures that we look back to, that we can start fresh each time, and that we can begin again. And we failed once, but there is no memory of it in heaven. And that's where we want to understand the scope of the Lord's forgiveness. How great and how broad that it is, that it isn't limited. And sometimes we're afraid that our sins will be remembered. But we see in Hebrews 8, verse 12, the Lord says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And it's the thought that, but even though the Lord is all-knowing, that in this sense that these will not be in His remembrance, that He'll never bring them up again and throw them in our faces to say, well, you failed me once again, that He would remember them no more, that they're forgotten. We see in Psalm 103, verse 10, it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." And we know that there is on our globe, that there is a point that you can travel north as far as you can, and you'll come to a place where you can't go any farther north. And the same when you go south. But if you go east or west, you can keep going west and you'll never find east. You'll never get to the end of it. That's the way it is. As far as the east is from the west, that there is no possibility that we could ever find our sins. That's how far He's removed them from us. And it is such a blessing to know that. And we see, also if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43... Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 of Isaiah 43, it reads, "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." And that word, and we see it in many other places in the Scriptures of blotting out our sins, it's the idea that it's just totally wiped out, it's obliterated. It would be the same as the word that they use in the New Testament for it is to whitewash, where you totally cleanse it, that there's no memory of it at all. And that's the thought that we see in our record, that it's blotted out with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's no remembrance under heaven, that it can't be found on any record. the account has been settled, it's been paid in full. And it is such a blessing to know that. Then we see also, if you turn with me to Micah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Nahum. Keep skipping over them. Here we are. Micah chapter 7. Micah 7 and verse 19. Or actually, let's begin in verse 18. It says, Micah 7, 18, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And it's trying to even grasp the sense of how deep the sea is. I know as you travel down that the pressure gets so much that submarines and other things can only go so far down before they're crushed by the actual weight of the water. And we think of how deep that it is, and that's how far he's cast them. That there's no one that's ever going to get down there to find them and dredge them back up and lay them in front of us, that we can feel guilty again, that they're never going to be found anymore. And it is such a blessing to know that. That our sins are entirely cleansed, that there is no memory, that they are paid for, that they are covered, they are blotted out. And it is something that we understand God's forgiveness, and we recognize that, of course, that we are to become more like Him, that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so it is the thought that we are to learn of Him, and as the Lord has forgiven us, then that is something that we need to learn to show as well to our fellow man. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And it's the understanding that the Lord, He has shown such great forgiveness to us that He desires that we would show that same forgiveness to others. That as Christ forgave, so we would do as well. And the Lord speaks of this Himself in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive them." And we can see with the disciples how they said, "Well, Lord, increase our faith," how that was a hard thing to do. And we read of Peter in Matthew chapter 18, they said, "Well, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times?" And the Lord said, "No, till 70 times seven." That it is something that we think, well, they keep doing the same thing again and again. They keep asking forgiveness. It must not be real. And we keep a list. Well, this is the 12th time that they've done this. But we realize the Lord doesn't keep a list with us. And so we're not to keep a list with others. And we are to learn to forgive as He did, that when we forgive someone, that it's truly forgotten, that it's blotted out, that it's never brought again, that we never try to make them feel guilty. And that sometimes it's so easy when we get into an argument with someone or we're frustrated, we say, "Well, do you remember what you did back at this time?" And try to bring that up. And the thing is that if we've forgiven them, then it should never be brought up again. And it's a hard thing to do, but it is something that we need to be to learn to do. And we want to understand that the Lord has forgiven us much, and so we learn from Him. And if we don't learn to forgive, we have to realize how great a damage that it can cause. One, it can be a great damage to those it affects. We think of the Corinthian church, of how there was, we read in 1 Corinthians how there was this man that was in fornication in the church, and they hadn't dealt with it, and Paul rebuked them and said, well, you guys need to deal with this. This person needs to be disciplined out of the church for the good of the witness of the church. And so we see that they did that, but then we read in 2 Corinthians, it would seem that what was the desirable thing, that this person was separated, that God dealt with them, and that they repented, and that now they wanted to come back, and now that it was too far the other way, that they said, well, we don't want him back because he embarrassed us. He was such a wicked person, and we don't want him again. And so Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he had to say to them, it's like, okay, you need to forgive him now, that otherwise that it says 2 Corinthians 2 verse 7, so contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And that's what can happen. If we fail to forgive someone that's wronged us, then it can cause great sorrow to them. It can frustrate them and make them give up. That it can be a hard thing that they understand that God forgives them, but yet that we do not, that it is a hard thing to handle. And it says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, it says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that is something that we want to understand, that something that the devil will try to use is the snare of unforgiveness, of bitterness, how it can affect us for years. It can even affect a family generationally, that we don't forgive, we bear a grudge, and we hold on to it. And it gets to a point we don't even remember what the person did to make us so mad, but we still hold on to that. And it can be such a dangerous thing. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And that's what can happen, that if we're bitter, that we can pass it on to other people. If we fail to forgive, that it hurts them. And we have to understand, really, that it hurts us most of all. That sometimes we get hurt, that we just kind of back off. We don't want to get hurt again, and so we don't step up. We don't interact with people anymore. And that the devil has a victory over us and defeated us because of our unforgiveness. But we want to see also, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And this is a parable that Jesus spoke to get us to understand, as he said, that we're not just to forgive our brother seven times, but until 70 times seven. It says, Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye not from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And so we want to understand how serious the thing of is if we harbor unforgiveness, that the Lord has forgiven us so much, and if we fail to show that same forgiveness to our fellow man, that it puts us in a very dangerous situation, and we don't want to ever find out how it feels to be like that. It, almost the thought that the Lord brings things back into His memory somehow if we do not show forgiveness, and that's something that we find with the Lord, that so often that He starts to treat us the way that we treat other people, and if we treat people well, then the Lord blesses that. It says He will have justice without mercy that has shown no mercy. And so it's something that if we're merciful to people, if we show forgiveness, then the Lord's going to show forgiveness to us. And so it is the nature of it, that of God's forgiveness, that it is such a great and vast thing, it is such a blessing to have. But it is not something that we take it in and we enjoy the benefits of it, but then never give it out again. Because we have been forgiven so much that we should be able to show love to other people and show forgiveness to them, even if they have hurt us. And it's the understanding sometimes we need to just recognize, well, if they've done me wrong, the Lord's going to take care of that. Vengeance is His. I don't need to deal with that. I just need to forgive them. I need to love them. I need to show mercy to them. And if God needs to judge them for that, He can do that. But I don't need to hold bitterness against them. I need to love them, try to be merciful to them. And that's so often we find that we don't return evil for evil, but we overcome evil with good. That when people see that we forgive them, that we still show kindness to them even though they treat us wrong, that has great power. And so we want to exhibit God's forgiveness in our own lives, just in recognizing how great it has been, that we exercise our ability to confess our sins to Him each day, that we don't have a great big long list that we have to pile up and say, well, I have to make sure when if I ask for forgiveness to make it worthwhile, but that with each time we realize that fellowship's been broken, that we're not following the Lord as we should, that we seek to restore it. And then when with another person on this earth, whether it's a brother in Christ, whether it's a relative, a friend, a neighbor, that we show that same forgiveness to them so that they could see God's forgiveness through us. Because that is what we want to do, that we are witnesses for Him, that we are the only Christ that many people will ever see. And so we want to show what it means to be forgiven, so that they one day might come and know the Lord Jesus as Savior and be truly forgiven of their sins for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your great forgiveness. Lord, we just pray You would help us, that we would forgive as You have forgiven us. Lord, it is a hard thing in our flesh. We need Your Holy Spirit to heal our wounds sometimes, Lord, and just help us to love those that may have harmed us. Lord, we just pray that You would enable us, Lord, to show Your forgiveness to other people, Lord, and be a testimony to how great Your forgiveness is. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you all stand, and we'll sing one more hymn, hymn 252, Whiter Than Snow. Hymn 252.